Turn with me in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter number 17. Jeremiah chapter number 17. If you were to come into my office and look at my laptop right now, you would notice that I have only three different Word programs opened up right now because I closed a couple of them. Closed this one after I printed it. And I just could not get settled on what God wanted me to preach. And I kept going back to this passage and believe this is what God wanted me to preach today. And I understand why you've been here. You were here on Wednesday night. I shared some stuff on Wednesday night that is why I believe that this is why I'm preaching this tonight, or today, this morning. Jeremiah chapter number 17, verses 5 through 10. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, maketh his flesh his armor, whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, shall not see when he cometh, but her shall not see when he cometh, but her leaves shall be green, shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." Dearly Father, Lord, if we open your word. Lord, I have struggled in this area considering the future of Good News Baptist Church. Lord, this message I know you want me to pay attention to. So Lord, look to your word. Show us how we can go forward for you. And just in my prayer, amen. And we look at this, if you look back in verse number 1 of chapter 17, it says, "The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron, with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart, upon the horns of your altars." There's a problem in Judah when Jeremiah is writing this. Their hearts are so hard to the things of God that he has used a pen of iron to etch their sins. The point of a diamond, and women know that the diamond is the hardest stone to get from a man.
No, it's a man.
But their hearts were so hard that in Jeremiah, God is describing how the hardness of their hearts toward the things of God. But also, notice he says, "And upon the horns of your altars." Their sins are written. If you study the Old Testament, the altar didn't have horns on it. But their altars, the children of Israel, the children of Judah, were following after Baal. Yeah. And the altar to Baal, the idol, the statue to Baal, is a bull that had horns on it, and all of that. But here is sin, and it is egregious. We saw it even as God is talking, before he talks to Noah, he looks down and he sees the wickedness of man in Genesis chapter number 6. And here, God is seeing the same thing in his children. And their hearts are so hard that the things of God that He's used a pen of iron with the point of a diamond. He's having to scratch hard in their hearts because their sin has bound up their hearts, hardened their hearts so much. And then we get into verses 5 and 6, and point number one is the cursed life. The cursed life. In verse number 5 and through 6, he thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man. So here we have the cursed life. God, first of all, is going to describe if you want a cursed life, and nobody wants that. Now, I was raised on the Navajo Reservation, and Laura knows what I'm talking about. And there are people that, because they get these witchcraft that they believe in and that they teach. There are people that if you upset me, and you're my neighbor, and you upset me, I go to the medicine man and I can have him do a curse on you. And then you will have problems. It'd be great to be able to talk to the witch doctor. Because if you want somebody cursed, you go and you pay him to put a curse on this person. And then the person who suddenly gets sick because they've got a curse on them, then pays you to take the curse off. Wow. You know, it's kind of like having credit cards. Right? The store pays the credit card company for the convenience of you being able to buy stuff on credit, and you pay the credit card company for the convenience of being able to. It's the same thing. And so here we have the cursed man, and God says, if you're having problems in your life, maybe you want to look at it. And here's the cursed life. The cursed life is the result of misplaced trust. The Judah has misplaced their trust. And God says, okay, here's your misplaced trust. In verse number 9, and understanding that verse number 9 is a description of a lot of people's misplaced trust. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, this is what is good for me. This is what makes me feel good. That, you know, I believe that, and I think that this is what I need to make me happy. Because I deserve to be happy. And don't you agree that I deserve to be happy? If I'm standing up here and I ask everybody, do you believe that I deserve to be happy? Most of you are going, no. That's cool. But the heart is, if he's talking about that we're placing our trust in, well, this is what my heart desires. Our heart is deceitful above all things. Mm-hmm. Desperately wicked. And if we think that we know our heart, what we really want to consider is the fact that our heart is probably leading us wrong. Mm-hmm. So here we have some misplaced trust, and point number one under letter A is his own understanding. He's misplaced his trust because he's trusting his own understanding. So cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Do we not see that even today? You know, if only the president would do this and this, then I would be happier. If only the governor would do this and this, then I would be happier. If only the mayor would do this and this, then I would be happier. If only that jerk in front of me would drive this way, then I would be happier. But I wonder if it goes a little bit beyond that. I can do this. is the attitude that he is addressing in verse number 5. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. The cursed man is one that's going, well, I know that I can do this, this, and this. If I am big into budget, I believe that if a family wants to be successful that it, with their finances, that they need to have a budget.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then he gets trusting in budgets instead of in the Lord supplying you. You know, yeah, that's a good argument against budgets, but it's not really a valid argument. Because here's the deal. What I keep finding with folks that I talk to that are having money challenges is that they follow the attitude of Solomon. Whatever my heart, whatever my eyes saw, I did not withhold from myself. Take our guard a little bit. Just for fun. It's not true. Come home from work and she's over there going, the bank sent us this notice, we bounced another check, and I don't understand it. We cannot be out of money. There are more checks in this book. And that's the attitude that, you know, man trusting in man, if I can do this, I can move forward, if I am self-confident. Point number two, the cursed man has misplaced trust. He's trusting in his own strength. It says, and maketh flesh his armor. Now, the Judah and Israel both think, why did you struggle with this? What did God say to them? If you will do what I command, I will drive your enemies out before you. As soon as something happens, what does Israel do? What does Judah do? They go, Pharaoh, we're having a little bit of trouble with some of our neighbors. Would you mind sending some troops over? Oh, you want all the treasures in the king's house? Not a problem. We'll pay you. And then, as you read through the list, you find out the king of Israel was on the phone a little while later, and only Pharaoh's not taking his calls anymore. You took all of my money. You took everything that I gave you. I trusted in you to send me troops, and now you're not coming? What's up with that? Send me back my money. And they're trusting in their own strength. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things. And that's where man stops it. But the Bible goes on and says, through Christ which strengtheneth me. If I believe I can do all things under my own power, under my own strength, I am doomed to failure. In fact, the Bible calls it a curse, and I'm going to fail, not succeed. Point number three, that the cursed life is a man who has misplaced trust in his own way. The very end of verse number 5 says, his and whose heart departed from the Lord. Lord, I know that you said to do this and to do this and to do this, but that isn't any fun. I want to do the things that make me happy. I believe that this will make me happy. And those things, they might make me happy, but they seem kind of regulated and restrictive. I used the verse this morning. And all these things shall be said. Wow. Wrong. God said, if you will do my things, my way, first of all, when it comes down to it, I'm not preaching on tithing, but maybe we ought to more often. But God says, what about our tithe? It is the first fruits. right? It's not after Uncle Sam gets his fingers in it. It's first fruits. It's the 10% of what God has allowed you to earn. Well, I didn't get all of that. That's not God's fault. That is the conditions you live under. God says, here, and it's different. You know, when Jesus was walking the face of the earth, you had to pay your taxes. They determined how much you owed, and you just went in. And hopefully, you got Matthew after salvation, not before salvation. And he didn't go, well, you know, you owe the Roman government this much, and then there's a percentage that belongs to me. So too many times as Christians, though, we look at all of the challenges that are coming our way, and Lord, if I give you this 10%, how am I going to be able to afford this storm that's coming? Does Jesus still ride in the boat? Peace be still? Are we mistaken in our attitude toward debt and toward the things of the world and toward the storms of life in such a manner that we go, well, Lord, I know that you need, because the church is always talking about money and you can't go unless they pass the plate and all of, and so I know that I should. No, God says, the first fruits are mine. Honor me first, and then I will. Precept first, then promise. And we have to go work. The cursed life is the one that says, no, I want to do it my own way. I've got $1,000 on my paycheck, and I am not going to give God $100 because $1,000 can go a long ways toward that new TV or whatever. And God says, give me the first fruits, give me that $100, and then see how far I'll stretch that $900. Luke 6, verse number 39, he spake a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind, and shall they not both fall into the ditch? Your eyes are shut toward the promises of God, to the precepts of God. You're going to fall into a ditch, and then you're going to be down there rolling around in the ditch. Going, Lord, dig me out. Unfortunately, most times, when we pray that, rather than going back to the precepts of God and saying, Lord, dig me out, I'll do it. Man, I'm sorry. If some Israel did this, you know, we want to do it our way. Oh, Lord, there's people coming. We're over here. You're our friend. Protect us. Oftentimes, the children of Israel and we as Christians today, we get ourselves into a hole and we go, hey Lord, I'm sorry, I'm over here, I want to walk in your way, and then things don't start going the way we think they ought to start going right away. Moses only spent how many years building the ark? 100 or something, right? Even 100. But what did he keep doing? What God commanded. Oftentimes as Christians, we have a microwave mentality, a microwave attention span. And, well, Lord, I thank you for getting, I'm going to follow you. You're going to get me out of that hole, and I want to praise you in that. And, wow, Sarah, you haven't got pregnant yet. Let's see if we can do this a different way. And we go back over and we take the shovel that God was going to dig us out with and we take it and we start digging deeper. And we wonder, why are we having so many problems? Because God says, cursed is the one that goes his own way. Matthew 7, verse number 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, God's way. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go there. Psalm 119, verse number 59. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Why are we going our own way? Because we're not thinking about God's way. We're not studying His Word. We're not obeying what He says. Point number B, the cursed life will result in a displaced life. Verse number 6 shows three things on the displaced life. First of all, there's no view. It says, "He shall be like the heath in the desert." I looked up what a heath is, and it is basically just a little shrub, and they will blossom in a time of rain, but most of them, when they bear any fruit at all, is a dry, hard fruit that only has more seeds in it. That when you consider a fruit, you're thinking more of something you can eat, right?
Yeah.
And so the heath plant, that family of plants, they tend to give more of a hard, just a seed pod, if they give fruit at all. So if you consider that, the misplaced life has no view. He's like the heath plant. So when he does give any fruit at all, and they look beautiful in the desert, you drive by and, look at those flowers out there. It rained and then the plant will green up and it'll put little flowers. Isn't that pretty? They'll look good, but they're good for nothing. Really. Oh, they're holding dirt down. And too many times in the lives of people who have forsaken God, have departed from the Lord, they are holding dirt down until dirt is holding them down. At whatever point in their life that God calls them home, if they're Christian, or sends them to hell if they're unsaved, they're heath plants. When they do bear, all they do is that little seed pod, it will open up and it will draw more seed. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Can you imagine that? You're living your way, and you're growing, you're like a heath plant in the desert, and you finally get look, I've got fruit. People, look, I got fruit! More seed. And what am I reaping? More just like me. People living on this side. Not on God's way. No view, anyway. Point number one. Get to that. That's all extra. No charge. Where to go? Verse number 6. Shall be in the desert and shall not see good, not see when good cometh. No view. They live in the desert and can't see when good is coming. They're so far in the hole because they're following what God said, they can't see up over the edge. There's a story of this young man that had been drinking and became very inebriated, and he made the right choice. He chose to walk home rather than drive home. But he's walking, and he gets tired of walking because it's a ways home, and he gets to this graveyard, and he goes, well, my house is just on the other side of this graveyard. So I'm gonna climb the fence, I'm gonna sneak through this graveyard, and Doc did save me some time. So he starts walking through the graveyard. And as he's stumbling along the graveyard in the dark, he falls into an empty grave that they had dug for a funeral the following day. And he hits the bottom of that grave and he starts, and starts, and he can't climb because it's deep and he can't climb out. He's scrabbling and carrying on and gets frustrated. But then he heard something and he turned around and there was a guy in there saying, "You can quit." I couldn't get out either. Too many times we fall into a pit and we associate with those people who have fallen into the same pit and they're like, "Well, just give up. It doesn't matter. Nothing's going to change. You are stuck where you're at." And we stay right there. It does. Good friend of mine, that story. A long time ago, we buried him on the reservation and went and helped dig the grave to put his casket in. And if you dig it properly, dig it deep enough, you need help getting out of there. And there's no view down there. There's nothing to see down there but dirt and rocks and still thinking about a friend who's passed. The view's no good. Can't even see the good that's coming. Oh, there could be storm clouds, rain coming on. You're in the desert. There could be a rain coming in the distance. You can't even see that because you're so busy giving off steam and suffering in the desert. Point number two, there's no refreshment. It says, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness. And you ever work really hard out in the hot sun? And I know folks down south, in the southern states, I shouldn't say down south, we is down. We are not that part of the government. But in the summertime and all, they just love sitting on the porch with a glass of lemonade, ice, cold, you know, the sweat dripping off of it. All of that tastes so good. I'm from the desert. To me, a bottle of cold water out of the refrigerator, where you can drink that whole bottle down and just quench that thirst. It feels so good going down your throat. There's no refreshment. They can't get refreshed. They're in the desert. They're in a parched land. Then point number three, no fruit. In a salt land and not inhabited. No fruit. And now I describe this plant, this seed plant, as giving off fruit, but you understand when I say no fruit, is it not the kind of the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering. No fruit. Because if we're on over here and we've dug a hole for ourselves and we're living our life our way because this is what we are missing out on, love, joy. But this makes me happy. Love, joy, peace. But oh, I'm happy over it. Love, joy, the fruit of the Spirit. We're missing. There's no fruit. And the fruit that we do get, being on the seed, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. We're reaping more of what? The first life. Does that mean you want to sign up for that? Not a normal person. Psalms 139, verse number 23, the psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. If I am where the cursed life is, then, Lord, lead me in a way everlasting. Point number two is the blessed life. We see the blessed life in verses 7 through 8. In my notes, I have 7 through 10, but 7 through 8. Verse 7 says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. We have a choice in our life. We can either be cursed or we can be blessed. Two choices. Well, I don't like those two choices. I want the middle one. I've used the example before, and my little brother, the one that does the design for our bulletins and stuff like that, when he was growing up, my other brother James and I, we raised butcher hogs. So you butcher them so you have, you know, meat in the freezer. And these hogs were big, 300-500 pound hogs. They were huge. And in order to keep them in a pen, we had 2x8 planks making this pen for them to be in. And my brother James and I, we would walk those planks around the pig pen. And while we're doing that, these butcher hogs are not, those are not pets. They are mean. They have one thing on their mind, and that is their next meal. And here's some skinny white kid walking around on top of a fence, and it's got to be the next meal. And so they would be hidden in that fence while we're trying to walk across the top of it. And the, you know, who can make it around once? Who can make it around, you know, and for my brother and I, it was always, you know, who can make it around? And so we were doing it. Well, the deal is, when you're walking the fence line or a pig pen, there is no way to not get pig slop on you. With that pig rooting and carrying on, it doesn't matter the pickings because you can't get you. And he is kicking up mud and stuff. You've ever been around a pig pen, they do not like cleanliness. If cleanliness is next to godliness, things are way over there, okay? Just letting you know. And there's no way you're not going to get that slop, that nasty on you as you're walking the pig thing. I was talking about my little brother, because he comes out one day, and he goes, I can do it. And we're going, no, you can't. Well, he made it, he got the good balance, he's very upright. And he made it around, and before he could make a second time, they pushed him in the pig pen. And the pig got it. And the dad got it. But that's the problem with trying to walk the fence line. Is Satan is standing on the outside, pushing you in, when you think, oh, I got this. The cursed man is in his own understanding, his own strength. That's my little brother. He'll show you the scar on the cap on his cap where the pig got him. And sin does not leave us without scars. We can't walk the fence line. We either choose cursed or blessed. We either choose hell or heaven. There is no purgatory. There's no second chance. It's either or. The blessed life. Jeremiah 21, verse number 8 says, And unto this people thou shalt say, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. God is all the time even after this, telling the children of Israel, I'm setting it before you. Here's your choice. Choose one. You get the A or B. You have a 50% chance of getting a good one. Right? No, you have a 100% chance of getting a good one. How? Doing what God says. Mm-hmm. Or we can do what we want, and just as that's the way of death. Psalms 1, verse number 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The blessed life is the result of proper trust. Verse number 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Psalms 56, verse number 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Point number B, letter B, whatever. The blessed life will result in a proper life. Verse number 8 gives us the proper life. It says, For he shall be as a tree planted by the water. Kind of sounds like Psalms 1, mm-hmm. Verse number 3, right? He shall be as a tree planted by the waters. The blessed life will be courageous. All of the remaining 5 points, sub-points under B, or all start with a C. The blessed life will be courageous. And so he will be like a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river. You ever seen a tree that has its roots real spread out? Those aren't the kind of trees that go when the wind blows. Right? Those are the kind of trees that doesn't matter what comes, those are the kind of trees that are standing there. Those are the kind of trees that when everything is past, they will still be there. Their roots are spread out. The one that trusts in God sees the storm coming and says, doesn't matter, I'm rooted in the rock. My house is built on a solid rock. My foundation is built on Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what storms come because I serve the Lord of the storm. And when it blows, and when the devil's rattling the windows, it doesn't matter because my God reigns. And when it's all when it blows over, my house is still going to be standing because I trust God. The The blessed life is great, will be grace. Joshua chapter number 1, verse number 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Obedience gives courage. I was never worried about what my dad was going to do when he got home when I was obedient. When I was disobedient, I wondered, what did your dad do? I did not have a whole lot of courage to be out there greeting dad when he walked in the door. Hey, dad, how are you doing today? But oh, when I did good, when I got a good report card. I was excited to see Dad walk in because I knew we were going to do something fun. Point number 2, the blessed life will be cool. I'm not talking about the way people use the word cool, but hey, well, that's cool. The blessed life will be cool. If you go on and says, and shall not see when he cometh. Well, how's that cool? If we're talking cool as in not hot. Okay? Understand where I am. So, how will it be cool? Psalm 61, verse number 3 and 4. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the cover of thy wings. See what? When it is hot outside, when the sun is at the 12 o'clock position in the summertime and it is beating down, where's the best place to be? Out there? Underneath the shade tree. The Mexicans invented the word siesta, sleep, rest during the heat of the day. That is the attitude of a Christian, right? Mm-hmm. When the heat is on, where should we be resting? Mm-hmm. In the shade of Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. Not because the church has air conditioning, but because of God. Protects us. Mm-hmm. The blessed life will be cool. Point number 3, the blessed life will be charming. Got to be quicker than I have been. It says, but her leave shall be green, charming, and I find a C word for beautiful. Psalm 1, verse number 3 in the part says, his leaf also shall not wither. You ever see? All right, we've got trees out the back of the church, have no leaves on them. Those are not what I would consider beautiful trees. You see dead trees, I realize people can take a dead piece of cedar and polish it all up and everything and make a nice coffee table out of it. That looks okay. But when you go to the forest, what kind of trees do you want to go to? Well, look, the fire came through, isn't it? Isn't it just gorgeous looking? No, we want to go to the forest where the trees are green, where it's cool, where there's a nice gentle breeze, where there's life. Charming. Point number 4, the blessed life will be calm. 1 Peter 5, verse number 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So, and verse number 8, and shall not be cheerful in the year of drought. It's calm. It doesn't matter what storms are coming. Hey, the disciples were not calm when they were riding on the boat both times. The one time Jesus was asleep in the boat, right? He was calm. Why? Because he knew that storm was going to blow over. He knew that storm was not a concern for the safety of the people in the boat. He knew that it was because he had the right view. He wasn't stuck in a hole. He knew exactly where he was supposed to be. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. That's why you just don't understand what's going on. If you understood what was going on, if you are able to maintain your calm demeanor during the time of crisis, because you don't truly understand, or maybe I do. Maybe it's because Jesus is the rock that I stand on. Point number 5, the last point. Blessed life will be crop producing. The opposite of the kind of fruit that the heath plant provides, we're talking about a tree here who's by water, whose leaf is green, who is prosperous, courageous, and sturdy, and again, in verse number 8, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. What kind of people do you like to be around? The ones that have the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. At what time do you want any one of the fruits of the Spirit to cease in your life? Ever? And when we think about it, well, no, I don't, you know, I enjoy peace. Do we understand that peace won't all, you know, that the world says peace, and there is no peace. But we're not talking about, like, no wars. We're talking about me and God are good. The blessed life will be properties. In John 15, verse number 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Verse number 10 of chapter 7, he says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. When God comes back during his reward with him, which side of their life do you want to be on? The blessed life or the cursed life? Because he's going to reward accordingly. George Mueller, at the bottom of your notes, the vigor of our spiritual life will be in exact proportion to the place held by the Bible in our life and thoughts. We wonder why our excitement has faded. Maybe our Bible time has faded. Maybe our prayer time has diminished. Heavenly Father, Lord, we